Okay, we're going to have a study on faith versus feelings. Faith versus feelings. One of the craziest things that I ran into in the Word of Faith circles is the goosey bumpy feeling. Now, there's no doubt that when the Holy Spirit is around, you can get goosebumps. You know, when He's moving and stirring, you can get butterflies in your stomach. A lot of things. But I'm going to tell you something. There's people that are waiting around for a goosey bumpy feeling or a special stirring of the Holy Spirit before they go do something. And their days of doing something, it's going to be few. If a person has to feel anointed before he does something, he doesn't understand what's going on here. There's times when you can feel about as anointed as a horned toad. But you pray according to the Word of God and use the name of Jesus, and you'll get just as much done as you do when you got goosebumps all over your body. Amen? The formula for faith is to, number one, find a promise in God's Word for whatever you are seeking. Number two, believe God's Word. Number three, do not consider contradictory circumstances. And number four, praise God for the answer. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said that he could not understand God by feelings. He could not understand Jesus by feelings. He could not understand the Holy Spirit by feelings. He could only understand them by the Word of God. Now, this is a man that raised people from the dead, over a dozen recorded instances of him raising people from the dead. Actually, one time I read a story about him. This guy died, and he grabbed him, lifted him up, pushed him up against the wall, said, "Live!" Let him go, and he fell down, and he reached up, picked him up, put him up against the wall. I said, "Live!" The guy lived. This is also a guy that, when he got born again, he couldn't read. His wife read the Bible to him the first time. Then he learned how to read so he could read the Bible. The only way he could understand God was through the Word. Remember, in John, it said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld and called Him Jesus." That Word is God. And in fact, God holds His Word above His own name. Did you know something? It's impossible. This is cool. It's impossible for God to not bless you. The Bible says, "Let every man, let the word of God be true, and every man be a liar." But the word of God is true. He changes not. He put His blessing out there. It's impossible for Him to not bless you. But we got to fight these five natural senses. You know, we're always dealing with them. You know, there's just things we learn, you know, this is too hot, and this is sharp, and this is poison. And we're always dealing with our five natural senses. But look at John chapter 20, verse 24. And Thomas, these guys had just seen Jesus get on the cross and die So that you can imagine what must have been stirring through their heads. But John chapter 20, verse 24 says, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peter, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither my hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. So Thomas was basing his faith on his feelings. A lot of people get caught in that trap. You know, if they don't feel something, if they don't see something, if they don't hear something, they don't taste something, if they don't smell something, they won't believe. The church is loaded with them. This Christian, it just grinds me sideways when Christians say, I'll believe it when I see it. You ain't going to see it. You just will stop. Just go do something else. Go fishing. You're batting the air with doubt and unbelief. You're not going to see it. If you have to see it to believe it, you've already thrown yourself out of the fight. Amen. The Bible tells us we believe, we receive when we believe. Just like Abraham, he had to become fully persuaded that what God said was true. We all have to become fully persuaded. It's like God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. Then he became fully persuaded, the same way Abraham did. Abraham meditated on that word. Well, how can I say that he meditated on that word? Because God changed his name to Abraham. Every time he said his name, he was calling himself the father of many nations. And he hadn't had one kid. He was calling things that weren't as though they were until Isaac became. That's as simple as anybody can put it. We call things that aren't as though they are until it happens. Amen? Now, believing God is believing His Word. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. We've been there a lot of times. Of course, we should always go there. You know, if there's any doubt, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. If you have any doubt, if you end up and you're going to be praying for somebody or something or yourself, and you're confused about maybe an outline, right here is your outline. He gave us the outline for prayer, and it's two verses. Verse 14 says, This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Okay, that sounds almost too simple, but there's a lot in there, and we have to rightfully divide that word of truth. We have to break it apart. It says this is the confidence that we have in Him. So, evidently, there's confidence that's required when you're praying to God. Well, doesn't the Bible say that we, enter boldly into the throne room of grace by the blood of Jesus? Doesn't the Bible say there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus? See, condemnation causes people to lose confidence in their prayer life. They won't be bold in prayer if there's condemnation in their heart. If they feel, see, there's that word, feel. They feel like they're under condemnation. It's not from God. The Bible says that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So if you're feeling under condemnation, it's from the devil. He doesn't want you to have bold prayers. He doesn't like bold Christians. He likes to beat them down. He uses their mistakes. What he's doing is using the law. When somebody makes a mistake, he comes up and says, "You did that and you call yourself a Christian?" Other Christians will allow themselves to be used by Satan to bring other Christians into condemnation. You call yourself a Christian? I seen you cuss at the lady the other day at the stop sign. See how that works? Don't allow yourself to be used like that. But here's the bigger thing. Don't allow anybody else to push it off on you. Amen. You have to understand, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't matter if you blow it 5 seconds after you let this door. You're still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You didn't lose your righteousness. You're still in right standing with God. Amen. Don't accept condemnation for even 1 second. It's not from God. It's important. Now, if we ask anything, you should circle that word. Anything. Anything. Anything means anything. If you shall ask anything according to His will, He hears it. Well, what if I just want a new motorcycle? It's anything. It's anything. Does that pertain to life and godliness? Yeah, it's fun. How about a new horse? Yes, it's fun. It really bugs me when preachers say, well, you can ask for your needs to be met. That's not what the Bible says. It says anything according to His word, according to His will. You got to understand, His will is His word. People are running around saying, I just want to know what the will of God for my life is. Open this puppy up right here and read it. That's His will for your life. That's His... You know... If you had a rich grandma, and I mean, she was just filthy rich. She had money hanging out her hand pockets. And she kicked the bucket. And a lawyer called you and said, hey, Granny left you an envelope here. You better come get it. So you'd run down there and get it. And you'd take it home and put it on the coffee table. And say, my granny gave me that. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd open that thing up and see what Granny had to say, wouldn't you? You'd look at it. Well, Jesus got on the cross and died for your sins and made a new living will. And God gave it to you. A bird's nest on the ground. And people are running around saying, well, God don't owe me nothing. You're right. But that's stupid. And he gave you everything. You're right. God doesn't owe you anything, but he freely gave you everything with Christ Jesus. See, false teaching is a horrible thing for people to fall into. There's just times I wish the Bible Belt never, ever happened. Because that's the most hard-headed people I've ever run into in my life. If I could run into a guy that was raised like a coyote pup, and he gets born again, and I show him in the Bible a promise, and I say, that's yours, man. They look at it and say, wow, I'll take that. They take it and run with it. I show that to a Bible Belt guy, says, this is yours. Oh, God don't owe me nothing. You're right. You're right. Keep on getting what you're getting. But look at this. If we ask anything according to his will, which is his word, he hears us. There's people running around all over the place thinking God doesn't listen to them, thinking that their prayers are so irrelevant they have to have a pastor come pray for them, or they have to have somebody else come pray for them because they don't think that God hears their prayers. Know this, that if you, a born-again Christian, pray in the name of Jesus, all of heaven stands at attention to hear your prayers. Now, there's a book called Prayers That Avail Much. And in that, it impressed me that we go to the throne with our mouths filled with the Word of God. Did you ever notice that Jesus always prayed the answer? See, as far as God's concerned, he's already given you this. So what we need to do is learn how to thank our way into the answer by taking his word and going to him and say, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that by his stripes I was healed. I thank you for my healing. What are you doing? You're receiving it. You're not asking him for something that he's already given you. Amen. You're receiving it by faith. And how do you do that? By thanking him for it. And then return his word to him. Now, if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's simple. Something about a man wants to make it complicated. Theology will make it complicated. Doctrine will make it complicated. This is simple for us. Use his word, ask in the name of Jesus, thank him for it, and go on. Amen? Use his word. So find a promise in that Bible and be confident that what Jesus did on the cross is good enough for you to be in the Father's presence and receive what you need from him. Amen? Okay. If God's word says that he hears me, then I know he hears me because he says so, and his word cannot lie. And this is where we get the feelings out of the way. You know, sometimes people are waiting for some kind of a burning bush moment, some kind of a special feeling they know God heard them. Know this, because His Word says so, whether you feel like it or not, because His Word says so, that's the way it is. Amen? I promise you, if I went by feelings, I wouldn't be here. I just wouldn't. Probably 75% of the time, I don't feel particularly anointed. But I just go because I know I'm anointed, because that's what the Bible says. Not somebody else. The Bible says, and I'm anointed. The Bible says, you're anointed. You're anointed. Did you know that? You're anointed. If our faith is based upon feelings and we're just using a natural human faith, we cannot get spiritual results with natural human faith. We have to use Bible faith, believing in God's Word. If our faith is based upon the Word, then we believe the Word regardless of evidences that would satisfy our physical senses. You know, the Bible tells us we don't look at things that we can see. The Bible teaches us to look at the Word and focus on the Word. You'll have to fight these wind and waves off. These natural things that you see, you feel, you touch, you hear, you smell. You have to fight that off. Somebody will come up and say, well, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Well, why would you say that? You're listening to the wrong news source. Listen to the Bible. People are always looking for judgment in the Bible. You know how many times I heard when California was on fire? Said that's the judgment of God on California because they're altogether wickedly horrible, terrible people. Not all of them. Not all of them. And that's not God judging the world, because if God judges California, then He has to judge Texas. And then He has to judge Wyoming. And He has to judge every other state and every other country. But here's the thing. If God's judging somebody, then evidently what Jesus did on the cross wasn't good enough for Him. But He said it was a perfect work. Now people can tear down their hedges and get some bad stuff rolling, and that's what they did. But it wasn't God's fault. Because was there loss of life? Yeah? Did people lose stuff? Did people's homes get destroyed? Remember in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Yeah. Yeah, he had some minions go in there and start fires. But here's the thing. Preachers all over the country, we're blaming God for what happened in California. They did the same thing with Katrina. Preachers were blaming God for what happened in Louisiana. It's not God's fault. He didn't do that. He's not in the killing, stealing, and destroying business. That's the devil. When we finally as a church decide that we're going to get on God's side, as a body of Christ comes together and decides that they're going to be on God's side, I think we can see a lot of good things happen. You know, there's no sense in droughts happening. That's killing, stealing, and destroying. That's not God's plan. But anybody can believe what we can feel, hear, see. We live and operate in the physical realm most of the time. Obviously, we have to walk by sight then. But when it comes to Bible things, to spiritual things, then we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. You're not denying, you know, say if you get attacked with a sickness, you're not denying that you've been attacked. It's obvious you've been attacked. But what you're doing is causing a spiritual reality to take effect in your body by saying, by his stripes I was healed. You know? That's the truth. The natural fact may say that you have a terrible ailment. The doctor says you have a terrible ailment. You can feel your terrible ailment. Sometimes you can feel it 24/7. But the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. And that's the truth. And the truth always outweighs the facts. Amen? God's healing is spiritual healing. If medical science heals, it heals through the physical. Christian science heals through the mind. But when God heals, he heals through the spirit. When we get our spirits in line with the Word of God, by feeding on the Word of God, and it doesn't have to be healing, it could be finances, it could be any number of things, whatever it is you're challenged with, you find a promise in that Bible and you meditate on it, that's how you get your spirit in line, and then your spirit can take control over your soul and your body. And cause these things to manifest. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So spiritual healing or divine healing is received from God in the same way that the new birth. Did you know that? The very same thing. God gave us, he's so good, he teaches us the very basics of faith when we get born again. We believe in our heart, and then we confess with our mouth. So how did we come to believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and God raised him back to life? Somebody told us. We heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So somebody told us and we got it in our ears. And it got in our hearts. We sat there and we didn't know what else to do. But we knew we didn't want to go to hell. So we decided we'd say that prayer with that preacher. Amen. You know, everything else is going to come the same way you got born again. You're going to hear something in the Word. It's going to ring a bell. It's going to strike a chord. Here's a cool thing. Glenn Smith said, every once in a while you should just go open up your Bible and go read the underlined stuff. Because at some point, the Holy Spirit struck a chord in your heart with that word. So you deemed it necessary to underline it and that you would get back to it at some point. But then you didn't get back to it. See, the Bible talks about this. It said, the sower sows the word. You know, but the thief comes immediately to steal that seed. See, this is an important thing. When you find something, what you've really found, you found a treasure. When it strikes you in the heart, you found a treasure. Go home and be quiet and look at that thing and read it. And look it over again and read it. When it strikes you, look at it. And then get it in your heart. What you're doing is you're building faith. You're getting it in there. And then eventually, you're going to get a revelation of it. Because God has given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Then you'll get a revelation of it and you'll say, oh, I got it. I got it. I don't got it here. I got it here. It's right here. This thing might be spinning 100 miles an hour, but you'll just say, I got it. I don't got it figured out in my head, but I know how it works in here. But you'll get that revelation. You look at that and you read it. And you may sit there and look at it for 3 weeks and sit there and say, I ain't getting it. And you'll be down eating a plate of Mexican food and somebody will say something and you'll just sit up and say, I got it. I understand it now. But it won't happen if you don't feed on it. And meditate on it and look at it. And then just, you'll get a ding in your spirit. And you'll just know it. You'll get it. And then it won't matter what it feels like anymore. You'll just know in your heart the way it is. You know? The funniest thing, all my life I've been told all these things that I couldn't do. You're too poor for this. You don't have the right family for this. You're from the wrong area for this. You can't do this. You can't do this. You don't have enough money to do this. And I found in the Bible it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I looked at that, and I meditated on that, and I meditated on that. Number one, it was an easy verse to remember. It was short, but it was important. So I read that and read it and read it and read it. And then I went and did all these things that all these people said I couldn't do. And I was driving home that night and it was probably 9 o'clock. And I could just, it resounded in my spirit, said, wow, I really can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It hit. Then I understood it. Some of this stuff you have to get it experientially. I mean, you have to be looking at the Word and you have to be walking it out. Looking at the Word, walking it out. Well, I don't see how it's going to work. I can't figure this out. But the Bible says this is the way it is and I'm going with it. And then pretty soon, boom! And you just step back and say, that had to be God, because I didn't even have any idea that it could work that way. But it worked. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you that each time we take your word in our hearts, that this seed has the ability to spring forth and produce fruit in your kingdom, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold return on your word. It's a powerful, dynamic force. When we mix it in our heart with faith and put it forward with our mouth, it produces good things in your kingdom. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.